C3 TV. Awesome. So you can go and have a look at that. Welcome to C3 Fremantle if you've just come in. And I'd like to say a special welcome to C3 in Liberia, who this video is going to this morning. Let's give a big warm welcome to C3 Liberia. Pastor Colley and Pastor Florence, we love you. We thank you for all you're doing in Liberia and particularly in your area in C3 Painesville. And we look forward to seeing Barry and some of our guys actually with you later this year to start building the new school, which is going to be very exciting. And we look forward to that. And I'm here to talk to you. We're in a series on James. And who enjoys a little bit of deeper teaching? Well, deep for me anyway. For some of you, you'd like, well, can you go deeper? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, there's depths to my depth. I mean, anyway, okay? But a little bit, it's not quite shallow is what I'm trying to get at. All right, so James 2, I want to talk to you this morning about the walk of faith. Turn to your neighbour and say it's a walk of faith. Okay, so James 2, as I said, this is part two of a series called Enduring Faith. Turn to your neighbour again and say, you must have enduring faith. Incredible. Well done, guys. All right, let's read this passage together. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. You can probably watch on the screen or read it with me. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Powerful words. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish! You do not want to be called foolish by God. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestors Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scripture says, Abraham believed God. Does anyone believe God today? Yes. Really believe God? Does anyone not just have a faith that is religious, but a faith that actually turns into action? Would you like to do that more? We're going to help you a little bit this morning. This is real, true Bible teaching from Pastor Nige. All right. I've said it. Verse 24 is the key to the whole thing. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute, very interesting, is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different route. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. All right, so the summary, as I just said, was verse 24. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. We are shown to be right with God by what we do and not by faith alone. In the New King James, it says, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Now, in the Message Bible, does anyone like reading the Message Bible? Some of you. it is not evident that a person is made right with God, not by a barren faith, but by faith fruitful in works. So James appears to contradict Paul in what he says in Romans, and some of you Bible scholars would know this, the just shall live by. James knew all about Paul's teachings. He is not contradicting them, rather he is adding weight to them. And how can this be? And when in Acts 15, they have this this Jerusalem council of all the key church leaders of the New Jerusalem church, the ones that believe in Jesus as the Son of the living God. That's important, right? And they say, you are justified. They come to the conclusion, James is the chairman of that council, and he says, the just shall live by. So what's he saying? And I would like to say today that James is trying to get our attention. So if I said to you today, the Bible is clear on this, you cannot do this thing. Interracial marriage is prohibited in the Bible. You cannot do it. Would I have your attention? An African cannot marry an Australian. An Italian cannot marry an Aussie. What else? What other cultures do we have here today? A Filipino and an African could not marry. Now, who knows that that's absolute codswallop, as my mum would say in her good old-fashioned English. You see, but there's a reason for that, because we've talked about this before, because in God's eyes, there are only two races. There are those that believe and love God with all their heart, and there are those that don't believe in God. There are two races, and on that basis alone, you can marry who you like, because you are seen by God as someone who believes, and you become one flesh, and it goes on. I'm glad you agree with me, otherwise we'd have some trouble right there. But I say that for a reason. You see, faith without works, or not outworking your faith, can cause trouble.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Doesn't Paul say those that are unequally yoked? Better to not yoke than to have trouble. And so James is adding to the fact, now we're talking about faith without works is? So this is really important, right? So James is adding to the fact that we are made right with God through faith. Now, let me say it another way. You have a debt to somebody and you pay that debt back. Who feels good when they do that? Is anyone like some of our staff? You know, when you pay back a debt to a family that you've owed for a while, how good is that feeling? Whew. You feel like you've made right, right? It's like, it's off my shoulders. And what Paul is saying, what James is saying is, can you please justify that you have faith through it? Like, can you give me some evidence? Turn to your neighbor and say, have you got evidence of your faith? This is really what James is talking about. So when Paul says we are justified by faith, he is saying we cannot make ourselves right. Does everyone agree with that today? We can't make ourselves right. Jesus has done it all on the cross. For God demonstrates his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Good on you, Blammer. Looking forward to hearing your testimony somehow or another. Next, all the men. Blammer's going to tell his testimony next Saturday.
Wow.
So, what James is really saying to us is this: don't use your faith as an excuse not to do any works. The natural result of being faithful to God is through our deeds. Our actions towards others are proof of our conversion. And so let me go to one of the... Anyone here have Lutheran roots? That you had Lutheran background? No one? Dutch Reform's about the closest we get. Okay, that's fairly close. Anyway, this guy, Philip Melanchthon, who was second in command basically to Luther himself, made this theological statement. we are saved by faith alone, but not by faith that remains alone. In James 2:5, listen, my beloved brethren, I didn't read this, has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? Now, an heir means to have relationship with him. We are heirs in salvation. Is anyone glad to be a part of the family of God this morning? We are heirs of the kingdom. We have relationship not only with others here, but we have an incredible relationship through what Christ has done for us. We have the love of God all over us. We can't help but praise his name. We can't help but lift his name on high. And so we are heirs in salvation. You and I become an heir of a very wealthy father. It is nothing you do. You are already going to receive a great inheritance. So it doesn't matter if you mess up your entire life as far as a worldly purpose goes, or if you live in Liberia and times are never looking like they're going to get better for you, but the fact remains that you are going to a wealthy father and you have an incredible rich future ahead of you. And so you are not saved by works. However, you are justified, proven. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you proven? You are proven by your works. You are proven by your works. See, James is saying, I want to show you how you know that you have a living faith. If you say you have faith, but these things are not in your life, this is verse 17, then actually your faith is dead. It is not saving faith because it is not alive, and if it's not alive, it's useless. So how do we know we are alive in him? How do we know we are alive in him? James gives us what is insufficient faith and what is unmistakable faith. Verse 19, you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble, I like this verse, in terror. We have a negative example right here, right? What it is possible to have, yet at the same time still not having saving faith. Jonathan Edwards, the American revivalist preacher, said of this verse, let me show you two things that demons have that are just fine. Sound doctrine and a respect for the power of God. It's true. Elaborating on Jonathan Edwards, this isn't Pastor Nigel now, the demons have been in heaven. They know what God is really like. They've been with him. And you can get all the knowledge that you like. You can get as much knowledge about God and Jesus all you like. You can actually get a degree in theology all you like. But unless faith becomes works, your faith is dead. And it says, what's going on this passage, the demons tremble, right? They shudder. They shudder. Because they get the power of God. And we can shudder. We can shudder. And I've seen people that do this and they shudder because they want to do the right thing, but they're doing it from a religious perspective and not a relationship with God, because they think that if they do something right, then God will give them a brownie point or two and maybe they'll scrape through the heavenly doors. But actually, God doesn't care about that. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us deep in our heart to say, I love you, Lord, and that changes the way I view this word. And so you can get all the knowledge you like, but it doesn't make you a Christian. You can know God is great. You can believe God is great. You can even be scared of the punishment. But the truth is, you can alter your behavior and become an incredibly moral person, even an incredibly religious person. But all that religion and all that morality is nothing, and it's useless because it's trembling. It's like an insurance policy. You hedge your bets. But actually, it's much easier just to let go and allow God. So you can know God is great. You can believe God is great. You can even be scared of the punishment. Oh, my goodness. See, we have two signs in this James of a living faith. Two signs of living faith. Who'd like to know these two signs? Verse 14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? So first, we have to be alive toward people. Alive toward other people. Alive to people. Amber and I have an ongoing joke about this at my family home because I'm the introvert and she's kind of more extroverted than me. But I can still be alive to people. We have this argument quite regularly. Does anyone think, anyway, let's not go there. See, let's just talk from the Bible before I get myself into bigger trouble than I'm already in. James is providing a principle. You can care for others. And those less fortunate than yourself, you can care for the poor, as mentioned throughout James. And you can do it out of fear. I know people that have travelled across the world and they've done it out of a religious aspect rather than actually out of a love for God and a love for others. Out of a fear that they want to do the right thing. But they don't actually have a relationship. This is what James is talking about. Care out of fear, that kind of faith is dead. Care out of love, that kind of faith is alive. James 2:5. Listen to me. Turn to your neighbour and say, listen. Brothers and sisters, I think that caters for everybody. All the Liberians, this is you too. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Come on. Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? Real living faith is when you know that you are spiritually bankrupt. That's getting deeper, Nigel. You see, David talked about this in the Psalms. Apart from you, I am nothing, Lord. I don't know how to do my life without you, Lord. Lord, I have messed up so many times. Who's glad we've got David in the Psalms to help us do our life? And so when we repent, when we turn around from that thing, that's a living faith. Because that's saying, I know that this thing is dead in my life. It's not alive. It's something that I need to get rid of in my life. And so, Lord, I am giving it to you today. I will not continue that behavior. And I may need help with that from some other people. And even my connect group may need to help me and pray through that thing. But I refuse to allow that thing to be a part of my life because I know that it's not going to bring me alive in you. And so I put it on the cross today. And so when we repent, we recognize totally that we are poverty-stricken without God. I was not so great in that situation, Lord. I need you so much. I really stunk in your eyes, didn't I? We recognize that we have been saved by grace. And therefore, when you stumble across someone who is marginalized, who is poor, there is a connection. We're grateful, aren't we, church, for our connection in Liberia. Come on, let's give them a bit of a hand, those guys in Liberia, halfway through this message. Woo! All right, we are grateful for those we come across. We understand because we have been saved We knew that we were poor. This is not just we're not just talking about how rich we are here in the world, in the natural world. We're talking about we were poor in our spirit, but now we are alive in Christ. And so we have an affinity with every single member of the body of Christ and every single person that's a human being on the planet. Because God loves every single one of them. Regardless of their of anything that they are doing that is against the laws of God, but God still loves them, and so we still love them. Without doubt. Because otherwise, faith without works is? It may not be easy. But we ask God for his help. My friend at the gym, who's now Jared's friend, in fact, he's more Jared's friend than my friend now. So, because Jared goes to the gym a lot more often than I do now. And anyway, he's about my age. He does our signage. Thank you, Darren, for all your sign work if you ever listen to this message. So my friend at the gym who recently returned from New York told Jared, my son, and I a story. And I hadn't been to Fremantle Gym. I tend to go to a different gym sometimes. And I hadn't been for a little while. And he'd come back from New York. And he bounds up to me and he says, Nigel, you know, I was in New York. I says, I remember. How did your trip go? He goes, it was great. I was walking through this park in Williamsburg. And I suddenly realized that I'd walked into an event. And there's all these children collecting Easter eggs. And I'm thinking, where's the exit? I'm not a child. I'm supposed to... And then I saw this guy with this massive big sign he was holding up. Welcome to C3 Church. And he said, Nigel, I wanted to send you a photo. And I thought, you know what? That's living faith. That's not dead. He's over there and he's thinking about Pastor Nigel and his son Jared all the way over in Fremantle because something's happening in his life. There's an engagement of the Spirit at some level. Never underestimate what we can do to bring in the power of the living God into somebody else's life. That's living faith. Who knows what the Holy Spirit's doing to that young man? Well, he's not that young. He's my age. But anyway, over there in New York. You don't know, do we? We're a part of the answer. All right, so that's first. We've got to have a living faith toward other people. Toward other people. Who's feeling convicted right now? Second, part of having a living faith is risk. Risk. I love this. Oh, you guys are characters. All right. Risk. Rahab the prostitute, verse 25, is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. You can look it up in Joshua 2. Rahab the prostitute, God did not, first of all, God did not hold it against her that she was a prostitute. That's really interesting, isn't it? Who's glad about that? It's kind of freeing, isn't it? You see, she was willing to be used by God. It makes me think, if anyone is willing to go on a journey with God, that we should not be the judge. We allow God to be judge, and we help where we can, obviously, with the truth. And she was used by God to protect God's people, but it was at enormous risk. She had to hide these men up in the, like the insulation, under the covers of the insulation it would be today, of the roof. And she hid them there for quite some time, and the men actually came to the house, the authorities, to say, why are you housing these spies? We know that these guys want to take over Jericho. No, no, they're not here. I saw them go out the gates. And so out the gates, the other spies went, and then they had a conversation with Rahab, the two men that she brought down from the roof. And she said, I know my God has, your God has spoken to me, and I know that you are the Savior. Will you please take me with you? So I put the red, you know, the red cloth down, and I will be saved and be a part of your people. Incredible. Now, come to Hebrews 11:31. I'll put it up on the screen. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute did not die because she didn't have what? A dead faith. She was alive to God and all the others in the city who refused to obey God. So what am I saying here? When we obey God, it translates into action. Never underestimate whom God will use to accomplish his feats, because they are willing to serve him, not simply profess him. And Paul's final advice to the Galatians, Galatians 6:14-15. You guys can start coming up, music team. As for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world died long ago. And the world's interest in me is also long dead. Look at this last part of Galatians 6. Don't look at these guys. What counts is whether we have really been changed into new and different people. What counts is if we've been changed into new and different people. So, Paul knows that from his own experience that when you have faith in yourself, you're going to be condescending to others. When you have faith in yourself, you are going to be condescending to others. That means you're going to be haughty. It means you're going to think too highly of who you are and lesser of the other person. There's a superiority, a snobbishness. But because of Jesus, my career is crucified to me. Because of Jesus, my money is crucified to me. Because of Jesus, my comfort is crucified to me. Because of Jesus, my approval by others is crucified to me. These things do help, but they are no longer what I live my life for. I may care about them, but they do not define me any longer. These things no longer control me. And James, through using Rahab as an example, is promoting that if Christ is really your life, does anyone here believe that Christ is really their life? Give me a hand wave, come on. Let's believe this morning. Let's believe the word of God. You will be willing to take a risk. And so I want to ask, are you living a life of growing compassion, alive toward others? And secondly, are you living a life of growing courage, willing to take a risk? See, a dead faith may obey God for what you can get out of him. Trembling. Even the demons believe that. It's religious. True faith wants friendship. Now, I want to finish on this verse. Verse 21. Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son, Isaac, on the altar? Isaac is asking, where is the sacrifice? Abraham responds, God will provide. And Abraham took a knife to kill his son, and an angel shouted, "Stop." And there was a ram in the thicket. And true faith wants to please God simply because of who He is. Abraham was, let me say that again because I'm not sure we got that just then. True faith wants to please God simply for who He is. Abraham was God's friend. False faith can see the greatness, can see the power, the wisdom of God, but one thing that false faith cannot see is the loveliness of God. How beautiful you are, Lord. Will you stand to your feet with me? Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. Can we have some words of how much we love our Lord this morning? We love you, Lord. You see, just keep the music at a lower level for me if you can, music team, sound disc. You see, Abraham, the Bible says, was God's friend. And false faith can see the greatness, the power, the wisdom of God, but one thing false faith cannot see is the loveliness of God. A friend is somebody you love for who that person is. Does anyone have a love for who God is in their life today? For the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a friend knows who you are. They know if you're out to get or whether it's a true friendship. God knows if you're out to get or whether it's a true relationship. Before we finish this meeting today, I want to give every person here an opportunity that it's not a religion. You're not out to get from God. You're actually a friend of God. You love Him, first of all, for the beauty and the majesty of who He is. See, if we're honest, each of us has a tendency to use God. And what James is saying to us is that we must first have a sense of the beauty of God, and this is something that the demons will never, ever have. A major decision in your life, because we're talking about faith without works, is dead. So if we have a true faith in God, some of the major decisions we make in life, like where our money goes, because we have a true faith in God, our money follows our Lord because He's our friend. Because we have a true faith in God, it affects who we marry as a long-term partner, because there's only two people according to God, two races, and they are either in the kingdom of God or outside of the kingdom of God. And that is so vital that we have a living faith and we get close to someone and we say, you know what, she's all right, he's all right. I want to marry someone who believes the same thing as me. Because that's alive. And if I have to lay something down today, I'm prepared to do that because I am a friend of God before anything else. So how is your life? Is it made up of trembling or shuddering? Or is there a deep and longing relationship for Jesus? And what matters is that we please Him. So let's pray this prayer together this morning. I want to ask you at the end of this prayer just to pop up your hand if you really believe this with all your heart and you'd like to come to Christ or recommit your life. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. Come into my heart right now. I want to make you Lord of my life. Not by fear and trembling, but a faith like Abraham, a true friend of God. I want to be your friend today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I turn away from my wrongdoing and I turn to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you'd like to receive Jesus, you haven't done that before, please raise your hand. Let me see. If you know today that you're struggling to have a living faith and you want to recommit your life, please raise your hand if you prayed that prayer today. You want to receive Jesus afresh this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's really finish with a song this morning just to declare our faith towards God. Are we going to have a living faith, church? A faith that is alive? A faith that's a friend with God? Let's sing.
Worthy is the Lamb, worthy to be praised.
Oh, yeah.
And high and lifted up, Jesus reigns.
We sing, we sing,
we sing.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus,
oh, thank you, Father. The people of God said, God bless you richly. Enjoy the school holidays and we'll see you next week. Don't forget to register for the morning high tea, the ladies' high tea. God bless.